Studio 360.
I first thought that slow art must be some collection of objects. And as the calendar pages fell from the wall, I gradually realized that slow art was instead an experience or a collection of encounters. It's what transpires between you, the viewer, and whatever it is you're looking at.
When we look at a painting or a photograph or a piece of sculpture in a museum, we spend just seconds looking at it. Is that enough time to really get it? Professor Arden Reed doesn't think so. He has taken a long, slow look at visual art and how we experience it in his new book, appropriately titled, Slow Art. He says that learning to take our time looking at art isn't so easy. It takes practice.
I'm saying something like watching a slow art video is good training for looking at a painting. But in fact, so is listening to a Bach cello solo. I think all of these time-based arts are useful in helping us deal with paintings, which, of course, I'm maintaining are equally time-based arts, but not apparently so.
Right. It requires the viewer to unpack it over time without instruction manual.
And if it's a really good work of art, we never get it unpacked. There's a great line that I quote from Ed Ruscha, the Los Angeles artist. Somebody asked him, how can you tell a good artwork from a bad? And Ruscha said, with a bad artwork, you look at it and you immediately say, wow. But then you take a second look and you say, maybe not. With a good artwork, he says, it's just the opposite.
Right. Although there are works that make it easier to be slow art and therefore kind of belong to a canon, right?
Well, the best example that I've heard comes from the 18th century philosopher Diderot, who said that artwork calls to you from afar and then stops you in your tracks and then holds you there. So to answer your question, certainly there are works that call to us.
Right.
And one of the things that interested me was, were there certain artworks that seemed to build into their structure a call to slow down?
Uh-huh. And we're talking about mainly, although I'm going to try to push you into other realms, visual art, right? I mean, paintings and sculptures and photography and videos and so forth.
And performance, that's
right.
Yeah.
So a painting that I think everyone is familiar with, perhaps more than any other, is Edward Hopper's Nighthawks, which you also think is a good example of a painting that can reward the slowness and the slow art experience.
So this was a painting from 1942, and the painting is called Nighthawks, and it has four characters in a diner. There's a soda jerk, there is a couple women in a red dress, and a man sitting next to her in a fedora, and on the opposite side of the counter, another man with his back to us. That Hopper invites us to think about narrative. Who are these four people?
Right.
Why should they be gathered at this particular moment? What makes them Nighthawks? The man and woman seated in the middle of the painting certainly appear to be a couple, otherwise they wouldn't be seated that closely, and yet they don't seem to be interacting at all. The other thing that's so interesting about it is that this light, and apparently at the time fluorescent lighting was new, and it casts a kind of cold but intense light over the whole scene and then extends back into the street. So we're invited into this scene, but we're also kept out of it because the most curious thing about the painting is that there's no door into this diner. It's a piece of glass that wraps around from one side to the other. So on the one hand, we're given access to this scene, and on the other hand, we're excluded from it. And that seems to me to be a kind of definition of desire itself, that which incites our interest, our activity, our reaching out, and then on the other hand, pushes us away.
And one of the things I think that is why this is such an attractive picture to people is it looks like a storyboard or a scene from a noir film.
There certainly is something about this painting that reminds people of a movie still. And I think that's another thing that makes it a wonderful example of slow art. You can imagine that the scene will change in another minute, that the man with the cigarette in his hand is going to raise the fag to his lips and take a puff. But for now, everything is suspended.
Right. An artist I know that you and I both adore very much because you write about him in this book is James Turrell. And I remember the first time I heard that, oh, he does this whole thing, these sky rooms where you go and you sit on a bench at the edge and they're just a hole in the ceiling, in the roof, and you look up at the sky. And I thought, oh, that's like a parody of charlatanism. But then, of course, I went to one and was beguiled and besotted, and it's extraordinary. And it's all about just learning to look at the sky as though it's a work of art and all the changing subtleties of color and shade and light and all that. So those seem like ultimate slow art experiences. Do you agree?
I think the trick with the Turrell sky space is getting yourself in the frame of mind to slow down and appreciate it, because you can walk in and be worried about your money troubles and you'll have no experience at all.
Right.
It's a sort of subtle interplay between the artwork and your mood, your willingness to open yourself, to cooperate, to imagine that less might be more. And to the extent that you're willing to do that, a sky space will repay the experience. And, you know, one of the things that I think is so wonderful about the sky space is Turrell says it encourages us to watch ourselves watching, to perceive
right.
ourselves perceiving.
Right.
And once you've had a sky space experience, you can do the same thing in nature. You don't need a Turrell sky space.
Absolutely.
You can look at a sunset.
You don't talk about music, I don't think, in the book, but thinking of John Cage's piece called As Slow as Possible, which it can last a brief time, it can last a long time. It just, the instructions say the performer should play it as slow as possible. Here is a clip of it being played. And so on, for an hour. That is the version as performed by the pianist Sabine Liebner of As Slow as Possible by John Cage. And by the way, it's being performed really as slow as possible at a church in Halberstadt, Germany, over the next 600 and something years. That's definitely slow art, right?
I think what's funny is that you played a little clip that must have lasted about 10 seconds
right.
of a work that Cage wrote to last 639 years.
Yes. Yes.
And in fact, the genesis of that work was Cage's most famous composition, 4:33, where a pianist sits down at a piano and nothing happens for 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
Right.
Which is, I think, another wonderful slow art experience, because it does what a Turrell does. It makes you perceive yourself perceiving. It attunes you to whatever noises there are going on in the auditorium. But of course, because we're on a radio show, all of these slow experiences get compressed.
Right. My producer found this interesting work, which is about the fastest kind of pop art, slowing down. People are online, are taking pop songs and slowing them down by 800 times to create
that.
Actually then what sounds like, you know, artsy, experimental, you know, whale songs or something. Here is one example. Which sounds beautiful and avant-garde and like 450 copies would sell. But do you know what that is? It's Justin Bieber's Baby, which of course sounds like this.
But did you notice how that sounded like it could come from a cathedral?
Well, exactly. And again, not that we can in our minds, or at least in my mind, slow anything down 800 times and experience music that way. It does suggest that it's all there. It's just a matter of context and the nature of our engagement and consumption, right?
Yeah. Bingo.
Thank you, Arden.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.